Bibles with us this morning, please, and turn to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. Appreciate the singing this morning, Brother Bowen. I'm thankful that I remember that day that I got saved. Amen. Got the old ship of Zion. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is my captain. Amen. He's my captain and not any captain of this world. He's my captain. Amen. The 1 Kings chapter number 17, and look with me in verse number 8, if you would. We're going to read down through a few verses here, and this is a story, again, if you've been saving any length of time, all the Bibles in the story should be familiar, but those that are reading on the Bible plan, we got some new handouts this morning to give you for Bible reading. See Sister Leanne, she'll give you those if you don't have them yet, but we got the new ones. But if you've been reading on the Bible plan, you've recently read these passages not too long ago. And so hopefully you remember the story as we go through here and talk about Elijah and this widow woman. And I want to look at her. She's a mother, and today being Mother's Day, and again, I am thankful. I'm thankful for my mother, and there was many testimonies given this morning about my mother, and I'm thankful for her, and all those things ring true. Get up and very disciplined to do devotions and read our Bibles in the morning before we started school, and the patience that it took to homeschool. My wife is homeschooling our children. I was going to say I am, but I try to just give her what she needs. Amen. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do what she does. But now that we see what they're going through, I realize how much work that my mother did and got us up. I mean, it started just very structured, and I'm very thankful for that, and that built character in our life, and I'm so very thankful for it. Thankful for my wife and the work that she does and for our family and with our children. And the Bible talks about in Proverbs 31 that that the wife's heart, the husband does safely trust. I've probably misquoted that, but you know what I'm saying. And that's the case. I can go work, I can go out of town, and I know that at my house everything is being done like it's supposed to be, and that God's being honored and lifted up. And I'm very thankful for that. Amen. All right, First Kings chapter 17. We have a story here of a widow woman, and she has a child. So she's a single mother, And we're living in a day today where there are a lot of single mothers, and obviously it's something that they dealt with even back in the Old Testament, because we have one here. So why is she single? Why is she a widow? She lost her husband, and so but there's other reasons that people become single mothers. And we see in today's society that marriage is under attack, the home's under the attack. And today, as far as the mindset of the world goes, you don't even have to get married. You can just have children, you can play house and pretend, and when you get tired of it, move on and do something different. And in doing so, there's a lot of grandparents raising children. And not only that, but there's a lot of single mothers raising children. Because that good for nothing, sorry sucker decided that he wanted to have fun for a little while, and then when responsibility came, he disappeared. I've heard stories of even preacher friends of mine and people that I know that said that whenever they came along, their dad disappeared, and you're left with a single mother. We've had some in our church that give testimony of being raised by a single mother and raised by grandparents, and that's the story we're dealing with here. And it was a hard time. It was a hardship in her life. And we're living during a hard time. And I'm going to read this story here. And I want to preach a message today that I've entitled A Mother's Survival. A Mother's Survival. How does a mother survive in the world that we live in? I realize that most of the mothers in our church have husbands, and thank God for that. But it's still a hard time to be a mother. In the age that we're living in, the pressure of the world and the pressure of the media and social media, it's a hard time. And how is a mother to survive during this time? We see a picture of that here in 1 Kings chapter number 17. The Bible says in verse number 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand, And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an hand full of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for loving us, God. And we thank you for being a good God and a great Savior to us, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather this morning. Father, thank you for the few that are here today, God. There's others that wanted to be here, Father, but we had to ask them not to come yet. And Father, we're looking forward to being back on Wednesday as a whole church, as a unit, to be able to have church again and to pray corporately, Father, and have a worship service and praise you and preach. And Father, I pray you keep us safe till we get to that time, Lord, and bring us back together safely. But Father, while we're here this morning, God, there's those that are watching at home and those that are here. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be able to try to minister this morning. And Lord, we're thankful for the mothers, God, of our church. We're thankful for their testimony, God, within our church and without the church. And Father, we pray this morning, God, that you would help through this message to be an encouragement, God, to those mothers that are doing right. I pray, God, it encourages them to continue to do right. And Father, for those that are struggling, Lord, or having a hard time, I pray that it be a comfort to them today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Do we have the speakers turned off in here? Just you can leave. As long as they can hear me at home, turn the speakers off in here. All right. 1 Kings chapter number 17. And verse number 8, we just read down through there. And verse number 9, we find Elijah has just come out of the brook. If you read back there in the first part of 1 Kings 17, you'll find that Elijah had just left the brook because the brook dried up because he prayed that it would not rain. Amen. Have you ever prayed for something and then God answered that prayer, but in him answering the prayer, it caused another problem? It did for Elijah right here. Amen. You say, well, that don't make sense. You pray for God to do something and it comes true. Well, sometimes blessings can end up causing more heartache later, but God will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. And so Elijah prayed that it would not rain. And guess what? It didn't rain. There was a famine in the land. There was a drought going on. And he's there at the brook and God, the brook dries up. So God moves him on and he finds this widow woman that he talks to and tells Elijah to go to her. And so we find the setting of the story with this widow woman that's living in a time of famine and a time of drought. We see in the story that she has a child. So she's a mother. She's lost her husband. But she's living in a time of famine and drought. And I'm here to tell you today, church, that we're living in a time of spiritual drought. I know that there's people right now that are physically and maybe financially going through a drought. And as Brother Jeff prayed earlier, that we don't know personally of any families that are saved Christian families that are doing without right now. I don't know of any. I've had a couple folks in our church, and I'm thankful for their generosity, but that they've come to me, a couple different ones, and said, hey, does anybody need anything? And you know what I told them? Not that I know of. Amen. And not that I know of. God has blessed and God has taken care of His people in our church, and I'm thankful for it. And so, physically speaking, right now it seems like people have everything they want to have. If you think people are hurting financially, go down to Walmart and Lowe's. Amen? Now, I know they are hurting financially probably because they're running through Lowe's yelling, charge! With a credit card. Amen? That stimulus check was gone before it even showed up. Amen? And so they're running through their charge. But now we live in a day where you can have whatever you want, whenever you want it, how fast you want it. Hey, you can get it the very next day. You can get it the same day, whatever you want. But I'm telling you that we have all the food. We have all the access to entertainment. We've got the access to fun. We got all those things. You know, we're right in the middle of a spiritual drought. a spiritual famine. I fear that there may be churches, and I pray that ours isn't one of them, but I fear that there's some churches that because of this time of being away from the house of God, that there's going to be some casualties. There may be people that never come back to church, Brother Bowen. There may be people that never make their way back to the house of God coming out of this. And I pray that we come out of this thing with a revival. And I pray that we come back ready to worship God and get back to having church and serving God and get ready to do those things. But we're living in a time of spiritual drought. You realize today that the Word of God is very, very accessible. Anybody with a smartphone can have the Word of God on their phone. Anybody with the internet, anybody that wants a free Bible, they can come here. We got a stack of them. They can have a Bible. It's not a drought of the Word of God. We have a drought of the preaching of the Word of God. There's a drought of the preaching of the Word of God. And we live in a day today where motherhood is become a mockery, and it's become something of vanity and pride. We see mothers today that all they care about is themselves, and they'll take pictures of themselves, and they'll do all these things that are very vain things, and they might even do it with their child, but as soon as they're done with that child making themselves look good, they don't take care of it. We've seen it. We've had young ladies in our church that were here, and their grandparents had to raise them, or our friends had to raise them, and their mother would just come around long enough to get the kids to go get something for herself, and then she'd come drop them right back off. She'd come pick them up around Christmas time and go around to churches and say, "Look at my little children, I need money." And as soon as she got money, she'd bring the kids back and disappear. Isn't that sad? But that's the age we're living in. We're living in an age now where a mother can have a child in a gas station, truck stop bathroom and put it in the garbage can. I don't know how someone can do that. But that's the age we're living in. We're living in an age today where someone can become a mother and a few months later can decide that she doesn't want to be a mother anymore. And she's granted that right to take a life. I don't know how someone can do that. But that's the day we're living in. And so for a mother to take a child and say, "I'm going to raise this child in church, and I'm going to homeschool it, and I'm going to make sure I raise my child to please God," is very unpopular. It's very unpopular. But motherhood is a precious responsibility. I've heard it said before that to be a mother is a greater responsibility than the President of the United States. Amen. Raising children for God. The Bible talks about raising them, having a quiver full and having arrows that we can shoot at the devil and that can serve God and can have a family that pleases God and that, hey, that's winning souls to Christ. But most children that are raised today are raised to be worldly. They're raised to be worldly. They can quote every movie. They can quote every video game, but they don't know verses in the Bible. They don't know what it is to be faithful to church. They don't know what it is to get up and read their Bible every day. They don't know those things. They're raised to be very, very worldly. Very worldly. And the devil is just fine with that. Take your kids to church, but let them be worldly. He's fine with it. Amen. You don't want them coming to church either, but if he's got to give up something, just take them to church, but let them be worldly. Let them live whatever they want. Let them watch, let them do whatever they want to do. Motherhood is very, very precious. It is difficult to be a godly mother in the world that we live in today, especially if you're a single mother, like this woman here is a single mother. It's a hard thing to go through. But you know what we find here in this passage? We find a mother, she's a single mother, but we find a mother that is just trying to survive. She's just trying to get by in the day which she lives in. She's just trying to get by in the time of drought, in the time of famine in her land, and all she's trying to do is just take care of her family. She's just trying to survive. And I think we see a few things here in this passage that gives us some insight on how a mother is to survive in the day in which she lives. Now, there's books, and Elijah, sit up. Back up, sit up. Maybe we should have taken the tables out. There's guides for everything. they have a guide for this and a guide for that. I mean, people that like being outdoors and hunting and all those kind of things. My father-in-law, he's a walking guide. Amen. He knows every tree. He knows every acorn. He even knows the squirrels by name. Amen. And he knows all of, and I'm thankful for it. Amen. Whenever we have a question on something, we'll call him and ask him, hey, take a picture of it. What's this? And he knows. Amen. He grew up around that stuff. But they got a guide for everything. And they even have books and stuff for mothers. But I'm telling you, there's no greater book. There's no greater guide than the Word of God. And that's in every aspect of the Christian life. Every aspect of the Christian life. So we see some things here. Let me just give you a few things and we'll be done this morning. Look at me again in verse number 9. The Bible says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath." The Lord is talking unto Elijah, "which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." There to sustain thee. So first of all, we see a mother and her relationship with the Heavenly Father. Amen. You know how someone's going to survive today in the world that we live in? This goes for all Christians, but we're talking about a mother this morning in the passage. But the only way you're going to make it in this world as a child of God and as a mother raising children is to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. There's no other way to make it in this world. Hey, you! There is no peace, there's no joy, there's no hope without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no wisdom without Him. There's no wisdom without His Word. The only way you're going to make it, the only way you're going to survive, is to have a relationship with Him. Amen? In order to have a relationship with Him, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. Amen? And there's a lot of mothers today, they're trying to raise their children, and they feel like they're living in turmoil. They're just trying to survive. They're just trying to get by. And I realize it's hard, but I'm telling you, it's really hard without Him. It's really hard without God. Those that work secular jobs, anything you do in this life, if you have a marriage, a family, you work a job, it's hard, it's difficult sometimes, but it's really hard without Him. I'm thankful I have Him. Amen. I'm thankful that every now and again I can get in my car, even when work is not, it's kind of stressful or things are hard at home or finances, I can get alone with God somewhere and I can say, Abba, Father, Lord, I need your help. I need your peace and your presence. And God will move in there and just touch your heart and give you some peace. But those that are not saved, they don't have that. Those mothers that are trying to do their best to serve God and trying to live right, you need to have a daily walk with Him. You say, I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm telling you, you can't afford not to read your Bible if you're raising children. You need to have a relationship with the Father. You say, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm telling you, if you're raising kids and you have a family, you can't afford not to do that. I know it's really loud in here, but I can't hold my preaching back. It is, for those at home, it is very loud in here. It's giving me a headache. But I'm telling you right now, church, mothers, I'm preaching to mothers today. You have to have a relationship with Him. You have to. Because when your kids come up to you and they ask you for things, and they ask you to do things, and as they get older and they want to have friends, you need the wisdom of God. Because you're raising a child that will one day be an adult, that will one day make decisions. And you know what? There are several people that I grew up with that have completely turned their back on the things of God. I mean, they've completely turned their back on them. They're okay with abortion. They're okay with sodomites. Amen. Some of them are full-out Democrats. Amen. They weren't raised that way. And all these things happen. And you just wonder, hey, what in the world happened? You realize, parents, that you're, and I know children are going to make their own decision. They're going to make their own decision. When they get old enough, they're going to make their own decision. But I tell you what, you can stand before God and say, Lord, I did what I believe was best to please you. You want to be, and guess what? When they're old, the Bible says they will not depart from it. That thing will be down in their heart. Hey, it'll be there. And I'm telling you what, when we have mothers today that are trying to raise a family and they're trying to take care of a home, and that single mother, or maybe they are married or whatever the situation, it might be a lost husband, but they're trying to do it without a walk with God, without a daily walk with Him. It's hard. Amen. you must have a walk with him every day. We find here this mother had a relationship with the Heavenly Father. You say, how do you know that? Where do you see that? Because the Bible says here in verse number 9, and there, behold, look what the Bible says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I don't know about you, but you got to, this woman had a relationship with God because God's talking to her. Amen? God's talking to her. And so she has a relationship with a Heavenly Father. You know this woman right here is mentioned in the New Testament? Look with me in Luke chapter number 4. Very quickly, Luke chapter number 4. What a testimony. What a testimony that she's mentioned in the New Testament. She's mentioned back in 1 Kings. She's mentioned in the New Testament. Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 25. If you're there, say amen. All right, Luke chapter 4 verse 25. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years. This is what we're reading. And 6 months with great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Look at that. She's mentioned in the New Testament. Isn't that neat? That God thought enough about that to put her over there and mention her over there in the New Testament. I wonder if God was to write about our day today, if He would care enough about your relationship with Him to write your name in there. Amen. Would He care enough about to write your name in there? Would He care enough to say, hey, there were some hard times going on and there were some difficult times. But I tell you, Rachel, and I tell you, Emily and Ruth and Sarah, and you can go on and name the ladies of the church and say, hey, but I tell you what, they had a relationship with me and I used them and they trusted me during this time. What a testimony. This woman, you say, you don't know how hard I have it, Brother Andrew. I'm telling you right now, this woman had it hard. She had it hard. All she was trying to do was care for her family like she's supposed to in a drought, in a famine. And hey, she even gets down to the point, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, where she said, I'm just going to go make a cake and we're going to eat it and die. She had gotten to that point, but all she wanted to do was take care of her children, take care of her child. You want to survive in the day in which we're living right now? You need to have a relationship with Him. You need to be saved. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You said, I don't have time. Hey, why don't you turn off the television and get off Facebook for a few minutes and make some time to read your Bible and pray? It's crucial. Amen. Make some time. Get up earlier. Go to bed late. Whatever the case might be, wait till it gets quiet and spend some time with Him. Amen. If you spend 5 minutes on social media, that's 5 minutes you could have been either praying or reading your Bible. If you don't have time. Amen. I don't buy that I don't have time. Because there's a lot of things we make time for. Amen. And I know mothers are busy. Man. My wife, if she has anything she wants to do for herself, it's got to be when everybody's in bed, including me. Go to bed so I can go do something. Amen. Just try to get quiet. Why? Because a mother is a full-time job. Then you've got some mothers that are full-time mothers and they work, man. I mean, all this responsibility that falls on them. You say, how am I going to survive? You must have a relationship with a Heavenly Father. This woman knew the Lord. The Lord talked to her. She communed with Him. Not only that, but guess what this woman did? We're talking about a relationship. She knew God's will for her. Guess what it was? Feed the preacher. Amen? Feed the preacher. Did y'all hear that? Feed the preacher. He said, the preacher don't need to be fed. Ah, look what God said. She knew the will of God. In a couple areas, she knew that she was to take care of her son. And she also knew that she was supposed to feed the preacher. Amen? You say, where's that? It's right in here. I've commanded thee a widow woman there to sustain thee. Amen? Amen. This woman had been through some hard times. Her husband was gone. Amen. I know it's hard for mothers, but imagine how much harder it is without a mate. Husband was gone. There was financial difficulties. Hey, all she had left was just a tiny bit. It was just enough to make one more, a little meal for her and her son, and they could go die. Difficult times. But you know what? No matter what she was going through here, she had a relationship with God, and she was still working. She was still... The Bible says that Elijah found her working. The Bible says in verse number 10 that when he came up on her, she was gathering sticks. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? I'm talking about sometimes when things get hard. And we're preaching to mothers this morning. Sometimes they'll just shut down and they'll stop everything. They'll quit. They'll give up. When times get hard, when times are difficult, people in general, we see them do that. Instead of just carrying on for God and doing something for Him, they'll completely shut down. They'll quit. This woman here, she was still working. No matter how bad it was, she was still moving on. God will use those that are doing something already. Amen? You say, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Well, do something. God will find you busy and He'll put you somewhere. Amen? He'll find a place for you to minister. But hey, if you're just, every time it gets hard, if you're just soling up and you're just sitting back and not doing nothing, then, you know, God, what's God supposed to do with you? Amen? I've heard a preacher say before that, why would God save a lazy man? What's He going to do with him? Amen? And God will save you. Amen? Why would God save a lazy man? What's He going to do with them? We get saved to do something for God. Amen? So Elijah found this one busy, this woman. A mother's survival. How do we make it in the world that we're living in, preacher? How can I be a mother that raises my children to dress right and live right and do right in the age that we're living in? Well, I'll tell you what, you're not going to do it without a relationship with Him. Because you will crumble under the pressure. You say, well, this woman here, was she perfect? No. Did she have fear? Yes, she had fear. She was a single mother in a drought. God had been talking to her, but she still was scared. The Bible says here, look at verse number 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it. That I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. She knew what God had told her. She knew that God had said to feed the preacher. Amen. But she's here. She's in a bad spot. She's in an uncomfortable position. You know, the Bible still tells us that, yea, those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You do something for God and you serve Him, you're going to suffer persecution. But man, it's a whole lot better suffering persecution with Him on our side. She's in a bad spot. She knew what God's will was. She knew that she knew this man was coming and she had to feed him, but even with that, she was still afraid. She didn't know what the future holds. And sometimes we don't know what the future holds. We just have to trust God that He knows what He's doing. Her focus was on how little she has. But God, this is all I have. I just have this little bit, and you're asking me to give this to you? That's all I have. She's expecting the worst. She said, I'm just going to eat this and go die. You know what one of her fears was? One of her fears was that she wouldn't be able to provide for her family, for her son. The Proverbs 31 woman, we've heard several references to that this morning. She was a woman that took care of her family. She provided for her family. And she cooked and she did things and she worked to take care of her family. And this woman is afraid that if I give this thing away, that I'm not going to be able to do the job I was supposed to do. And I have a son. And if I feed this man that just came walking up, my son might die. Tell me what you would do, mother. What would you do? If you were reading your Bible and praying, and God said, "Hey, I'm gonna send a stranger by your house. He's a preacher, and I want you to feed him." And you say, "I don't have anything left, and we're about to die, and I got a son." What would you do? And he comes in and says, "Hey, would you please make me something?" Amen. A lot of mothers would say, "I'm sorry, I would help you, but if my son doesn't eat, he dies, and I love him." Amen. And that's the position this woman was put in. She's expecting the worst. You know, fear can be a dangerous thing in the life of somebody. Fear will rob you of your strength. It'll rob you of your confidence. Fear will mess with your head. The devil can use fear against you. It brings frustration and depression. It turns from God talking to you, giving you some direction, to all of a sudden you're like, "Woe is me, I only have a little bit and we're about to die." I've talked to people before that are going through hard times, and I mentioned it last week when I was preaching, where you say, "God, I hear you, but do you understand this is all I have left? God, I understand you're going to take care of me. I know I've read the Bible. I've read all the verses. God, I know you're going to take care of this. But do you realize this is all I have?" And how many people stop right there? They stop right there. We see a mother's relationship with the Heavenly Father. We see her fears. And last of all, we see her faith. Amen. We see her faith. She was afraid, but she didn't let that fear keep her from just trusting God. Verse number 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days." She went from being afraid to just being faithful. Just being faithful to God and just obeying Him. And she realized that, hey, it doesn't matter if I die, I'm going to serve the Lord and my life is in His hands. During all of this virus, which shall not be named, amen, that's been going on, God has provided. I've seen God provide. Amen. I've seen Him provide time and time again. And I think this ought to be a reminder to us that, hey, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. Why should we be afraid? Why should we fear where our next meal is going to come from or what's going to happen? I mean, why should we fear those things? God has taken care of us all these years and He's taken care of us now. Why will He not take care of us in the future? And she realized that. There's a couple things she hears. First of all, she hears the comfort of the Word of God from the man of God. In verse number 13, Elijah says, "Fear not. Fear not." And you know what? From then, you don't hear her complaining after that. You don't hear her saying anything after that. She just said, "All right, I don't need to be afraid. God's going to take care of it." You know why you need to read your Bible every day? Because there's a lot of fear nots in here. Because no matter what you're going through, wherever pastor scripture you're reading in, you'll read across it, and it might not say the words "fear not," but the Holy Spirit of God will take that passage and it'll tell you, "Fear not, I've got this." And here's what you need to do. She heard "fear not." She heard the comfort of the Word of God. She heard the command of the Word of God. Look with me there again in verse number 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Go and make me a little cake, therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." She heard "fear not," she heard the comforting words, and then she heard a commandment from the Word of God. God will give us comfort, and then He'll tell us exactly what we need to do. But the only way you get that is from the Word of God. Have I said that already? Amen. Getting it from the Word of God. She hears the covenant of the Word of God. Not only does she see the comfort, the command, but she hears the covenant. You say, what's that? That's a promise. Look at verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. God promised her, I will take care of you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He made a covenant. Not only that, last of all, she sees the consummation of the Word of God. She sees the fulfillment. Look there in verse number 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. You know what? She got to see as a mother. She got to see her son blessed. She got to see her home taken care of. She herself was taken care of. And she got to see the blessings of God. She got to see the promises fulfilled. And she got to see those things during one of the hardest times of that time. And she got to watch all of it happen. All because she heard the word of God. The comfort of Scripture, because she heard the commandment, she had faith, and she obeyed. God made her a promise, and she saw the fulfillment of the promise. You realize, mother, that your relationship with God and your response to the preaching of God's Word and your response to the Word of God could be the difference in your family's life. It could be the difference on whether your children grow up to serve God and to please God. It could be the difference in that or them being lost and going to hell. Man, I would hate to know that one of my kids died and went to hell because of my testimony. Because of my response to the Word of God and my relationship with Him. It'd be a sad thing. She obeyed God and He honored her. Proverbs chapter 31 verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. God mentioned this woman again in the New Testament. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. We see a mother. She's a single mother, but it could be applied to any mother. A mother that just was trying to survive in the day that she lived in. How did she do it, Brother Andrew? She had a relationship with God, with the Heavenly Father. She did have some fear. Hey, whenever hard times come and you get afraid, don't think that you're messing up. Just don't stay that way. Amen? I've heard it said before. My dad used to say it all the time in preaching. It's not a sin to be discouraged. Amen? It's not a sin to be discouraged, but it is if you can't be encouraged. Amen. It's not a sin to be discouraged, but it is if you cannot be encouraged. It's a sin if you stay that way, because I tell you, God's Word can and will encourage you if you'll let it. Faith is necessary for the survival of a mother. We see that by the obedience of the man of God from God's Word, that you can be blessed. I've written down here, obey the man of God and God's word, your life could depend on it. This woman, her life and her child's life depended on it. It depended on the word of God. She could have easily said no, like many mothers do. She could have easily collapsed under the pressure and the pressure of financial pressure and of being alone and the spirit of loneliness. She could have collapsed under those things. And she could have lost her son and lost her own life. But instead, she was given life. Amen? By the life giver. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. God, we thank you for being a great God and a great Savior to us. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come and preach your word, Lord. I know that it's not the most comfortable conditions in here right now, Father God, but I pray that you bless the message, Lord. I didn't really feel right this morning, God, and I pray, God, that it's not me, Father. I pray that you just please, God, be pleased with the message today. God, I pray it touched the hearts. Thank you again for our mothers, God. We've got some good mothers, Father, and I pray this is an encouragement.